This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The fastest growing part of Christianity is the Pentecostal movement. Many theologians say the movement began in 1906 at a church in Los Angeles, when worshipers suddenly began speaking in tongues and falling to the ground. Eventually, that church inspired several new denominations. Today, experts say that Pentecostal charismatic movement has 600 million members, 78 million here in the U.S., In the second in our series on new religions, NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty looks at the latest wave of Pentecostalism. It was born 10 years ago in a small church in Toronto.
It was an impatient crowd that waited in the lobby of the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship Church on a snowy evening in January. This was the 10th anniversary of the so-called Toronto Blessing, when people here say God visited this church and blew away their minds and spirits. Julian Willoughby, who lives about an hour away, said she wouldn't miss his celebration for anything because it marks a decade of radical change.
God changing mostly people from the inside, changing their hearts, causing us to understand who he is and what his desires and intentions toward us are. Hey, like his love for us.
As she talks, Willoughby unexpectedly calls out, hey, again and again. Finally, she explains, it's just God saying, hey, I'm here and powerful. She says she's had this verbal tic for the past 10 years. Sometimes it's embarrassing, she says, but it's worth it.
Hey! I've been a Christian since I was 7, and I can say that what I've learned here and what I've developed here with God is new, it's big, it's huge, and it's life-changing. Hey!
Soon the doors to the sanctuary open, and some 2,000 people rush in, visitors from the United States and Africa. As the worship band strums familiar praise music, the atmosphere begins to crackle. After a few minutes, some worshipers begin to fall on the floor, slain in the spirit, they would say. Some shake violently. Others laugh or make sounds that are not quite human. Eventually, John and Carol Arnott, the pastors of the church, open the meeting with prayer. Carol occasionally convulses as if being poked by an invisible finger.
Lord, how can we ever say thank you? Wow! Lord, you're just, so amazing.
Carol then begins to sway drunkenly, though she has had nothing to drink.
I absolutely love it. Oh, and the more you know you drink, the more you love it. And the more you love it, the more he comes. Whoa.
This, in Pentecostal circles, is called being drunk in the Spirit, a phenomenon Pentecostals say derives from the book of Acts. And many others in the crowd look to be under the influence. An hour later, as a guest speaker preaches to the audience, the manifestation that has made this Toronto church famous begins to erupt. The holy laughter, as it's called, begins with one person. Another starts giggling. Soon, an entire section of the auditorium is lying on the floor. The high point of the 5-hour service comes at the end, the time of prayer.
In Jesus' name, these young people, in the name of Jesus, put it in their hands, put it in their hearts.
Dozens of official prayers from the church walk through the crowds, touching heads and felling people like trees. They work in pairs. One prays, the other stands behind the swooning worshiper to break his or her fall. All the worshipers seem affected in their own peculiar way. This has been happening 6 nights a week for the past 10 years, though many say the services are a lot tamer than they used to be. Adherents say this is the most recent and most powerful wave of God in the Christian church, an opinion that others do not hold.
This is under the guise of God. This is not God at all.
Hank Hanegraaff is author of Counterfeit Revival and host of a radio program called The Bible Answer Man. Hanegraaff says these Pentecostal leaders work people into a spiritual frenzy, for example, by playing the chorus of a song over and over again.
When you see these manifestations, you see how easily people are led. And you see the exact same thing in Vegas any day of the week. You have a good stage hypnotist, works someone into an altered state of consciousness, and they can run around, act like Wile E. Coyote, whatever they happen to feel at any particular point in time, Bugs Bunny. It's absolutely incredible what a good stage hypnotist can cause you to do.
The leaders say they're not doing anything. It's God who's working deeply in people's lives. It all began in 1994 when senior pastor John Arnott invited Randy Clark to preach at the Toronto church. Clark is a Pentecostal pastor whom many Pentecostals consider to be anointed by God. Clark says he was nervous about the invitation until the night before when a friend called him with, he said, a message from God.
And he said, "The Lord says, test me now, test me now, test me now. Do not be afraid. I will back you up." That word literally changed my life. This anointing of power that I'd received from God by the Holy Spirit was like dynamite.
As Clark preached on January 20th, people began to fall on the floor. Then, at the end of the service, the church leader said they would pray for each person who wanted it.
So we all lined up. We didn't know what to expect.
Church member June Bain.
It was almost as if we were feathers. They just touched us and we just floated down and landed on the floor. And so I was lying on the floor, and I was thinking to myself, how did I get down here? Well, I was stuck, absolutely stuck to the floor. So that was the beginning of it.
Well, word got out by word of mouth. Now, we phoned everybody that we could think of, saying, get over here, God's doing something.
Senior pastor John Arnott.
When people came, they had a very, very meaningful encounter with God that surprised them, scared them, blessed them, and they told their friends.
They began nightly services, drawing hundreds and even thousands of people. Some Christian leaders criticized the wild services, but Arnott was not about to, as he put it, quench the Holy Spirit. So the services went on and multiplied. Pastors came to Toronto to see whether they could catch the fire and bring it back to their churches. Now, 10 years later, Toronto has started 110 churches around the world in what is effectively a new denomination. 300 churches in other Christian traditions have adopted the spirit of Toronto, complete with laughing, falling, and speaking in tongues. Scott McDermott, the senior pastor of a Methodist church near Philadelphia, recalls how this happened to his church. McDermott was skeptical, but visited the Toronto church. Suddenly, in the middle of the prayer service, McDermott found himself on the floor. He began having a vision that he was running from Jericho to Jerusalem. He lay on his back, arms and legs pumping, for 2 hours until, in his vision, he reached the temple and fell into the arms of Jesus.
There was this indescribable love that began to fill me. All that low self-esteem, all that sense of not being valued, began to melt in this love. I never felt anything like it.
When the vision ended, McDermott was embarrassed. Here he was, a PhD in New Testament theology and a visiting professor at SMU, a spectacle on the floor. But he says he's a different person today.
I can't say I'm a perfect man as a result of this, but I will tell you this, that because of that, I know how much I'm loved by God. And when life gets hard, and life does get hard, that God's love is there to see me through.
People who come to Toronto say they want more from Christianity than Bible reading and sermons. They want to experience God as a person. Margaret Paloma is a church sociologist at the University of Akron and has authored a book about the Toronto phenomenon. She says people are looking for a certain mysticism, and Toronto provides it. These people approach life as a dual reality, with the supernatural realm just as real as the natural world.
The things that some religious people would call supernatural, if they said these things ever happened at all, like healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, people in the charismatic Pentecostal movement would say that's a normal phenomenon for those who were trying to walk in the kingdom of God.
Miracles such as the central role of spiritual healing.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well,
good to see you.
Yes, am I glad to be here.
Yes.
I'm really in need.
Toronto's healing room opens at 10 in the morning, and an hour beforehand, some 36 people are waiting in the anteroom. Every few minutes, two prayer ministers fetch another patient. One sufferer, Annette McGarry, has come from England to attend the anniversary celebration and to seek healing for her back pain. Michael Holland places his hand on her head and prays.
So we speak in the name of Jesus to the scoliosis, and we command that scoliosis to leave Annette in Jesus' name.
Whoa!
with authority.
A gauzy look settles on Annette McGarry's face.
You should have no more problems with your back whatsoever.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's done in the name of Jesus.
Later, I ask her what she felt.
It's like I feel it's a release of something. That's what I feel like. God's releasing me. It's just like a big shock of his power.
A few weeks later, McGarry sent NPR an email about her condition. My back is still not perfectly straight, she wrote, but I have found that since returning from Canada, God has been healing me emotionally. Now, some believe the Toronto movement is already beginning to ebb. Veterans say, sadly, that it's not nearly as wild. Church historian Margaret Paloma isn't surprised by this. She says at some point, religious movements put in structures and dogma, but by bottling the fire, they can smother it.
I don't know that it's been done by anyone or any group for any length of time. There's no set time. You can't say after 5 years it stops. But you can look at what groups did when they were in their charismatic moment and look at them now and know that that charisma is gone.
Methodism was wild in its early days. So was the Assemblies of God. Like virtually every pastor interviewed at the Toronto Church, Steve Witt of Metro Church South in Ohio is not particularly worried.
I believe that, you know, given enough time, this thing will probably phase out like other movements have. But the neat thing about God is he'll come and he'll visit a whole new generation and do it all over again.
But tell that to the worshipers in Toronto on this particular Wednesday afternoon. Tell them that the revival will soon be over. For most of these people, some running in place, some screaming, some falling, some crying, there is no shortage of the Holy Spirit. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.